November 6, 2018 is a really important election to many people, and it's just around the corner. If you're feeling enthusiastic or maybe concerned about this election and want to know what you can do to really make a difference, we're having Calla and LaRose Felicity in to talk about getting out the vote this November here on Reality Check, Getting Out the Vote on KCIW. Before we get started, I'd just like to make clear that KCIW doesn't endorse candidates or parties, and we're inviting all candidates and all points of view to come on the show and be heard. After all, this is our community radio and includes all of us. So first of all, I'm Lee Tooley, your host, and I have with us today Calla and LaRose Felicity. Calla is the Secretary and Public Information Officer of the Democrats, and LaRose Felicity is the chair of the Curry County Democrats. Hi, Calla.
Hi.
And hi, LaRose.
Hi, Lee.
How are you all doing tonight?
Great, thank you.
How are you feeling about the big challenge of getting this election going?
Well, I'll speak first. This is Calla. There's lots of ways that we could address that. We actually are very much involved in getting everybody fired up and ready to go. We are reaching across all party lines to welcome folks to the voting booth. Of course, we know we don't vote in a booth here in Oregon. We vote by mail. But we still have about a third of the people in the county are non-affiliated voters. About a third are Republicans, and the remaining third are Democrats and other small parties. So we have a pretty equal divide here. And we also have a very alert populace. Unlike many rural counties in the United States, we turn out in record numbers to the polls almost every election.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, that's
in
wonderful.
In the last national election, more than 80% of us voted. And in the elections last spring, about 59% of us voted, which is very high for a single issue measure election, special election, and then just primaries. Mm-hmm. So that was a very good turnout.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so in terms of what people can do who want to be involved in the voting process, what are you offering in terms of encouragement and programs they can participate in?
Well, the very first thing that everybody should do is write themselves a note on their calendar or their wrist or their phone calendar that November 6th is the day to vote, the last day, once we have our ballots that have arrived with us. And from that date, count from that date backwards to the things that you may need to do to get ready to vote. For instance, people who are 17 now but will be 18 on the date of the election are able to register so that they can go ahead and vote this year and have their voice heard. Also, there are some people who have some mobility challenges and may need assistance getting their ballot to the polls, to the box. Last election, we had an active member who went to all the assisted living facilities and helped make sure that everybody's vote got over to the box, whatever party, whatever vote. As Democrats, we're working very hard to simply get people engaged and getting ready to be counted in this very important election that's coming up.
I know you mentioned something about the kids that are turning 18. Is there any particular outreach for them? I mean, when I was turning 18, the last thing on my mind was registering to vote. It took me quite a while to figure that one out.
Well, we have one of our party members that will be, who has a grandchild, who is a student at the high school, who is going to go and have a meeting with the principal to see if there's a way that we can set up just a registration table somewhere near the school there. So anybody who wants to come and register, we can do it. If a person's got a driver's license or a state ID, we can do it on the phone right there. We also have a registration to vote that can be turned in at the post office. And at the time you turn your vote in at the post office, unlike at the DMV, you can express your party affiliation at that time. If you don't want to have a party affiliation, that's your choice. But if you do want to have one, it's better to be able to go ahead and make sure that that's taken care of so that you have that settled in your voting record.
Because that's the only way you can vote in the primaries in Oregon. Is that
exactly
how this state works?
Exactly.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
We're a closed primary, which means you can only vote in the primary for the party that you're registered with.
Right.
Now, our local elections would be for county commissioner and any education boards that are running, the port commission and the city council. Those are all what's called nonpartisan elections. And that does not mean that the people who are running for office are not members of parties.
Right.
What that means is, and this is greatly misunderstood or misconstrued, what that means is that a primary is not necessary because it's expensive to run elections, and the voters in Oregon decided that, or maybe even the voters in this county, they decided that in certain elections it was too expensive to run a primary. It makes much more sense to open the simple election process to all comers and then just choose the candidate that people most want to fill that position.
So on the local level, it's nonpartisan, so to speak, and then on the state level, that's where you have the primaries.
Yes, and all members of the public can vote in special elections on Oregon measures, things to put new things into law, and often measures are written to counteract or try to counteract things that the legislature has already set in place, and some of the measures that are coming up are that sort of measure, and some of the measures that are coming up are the sort where someone decides this would be a very good idea and does the things that they need to do to get that on the ballot and gets it numbered by the state, and then we have those measures. The measures tend to be fairly complicated, so part of one of the things about getting out the vote is learning enough about them, is learning as much as we can that we can explain how those play out in what we know about today's political reality, in other words, our current governance, how they would work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that information is available. The voter's pamphlet is a very important part of getting ready to vote, because after you're ready to vote, you are, unless you registered the very last minute, and even if you do, you can pick up a voter's pamphlet from the county clerk, but you can read online or in person, in paper, a voter's pamphlet, which should be mailed to you as well. And the voter's pamphlet will tell you what candidates say about themselves. That's one of the things it says. And it allows pro and con arguments about the measures. So if you respect someone that's in local government and they have something to say about one of the measures, for instance, or in state government, they will make their statement known. For instance, if Labor was in favor of one of the measures or against one of the measures, Labor might elect to pay the fee to do a pro or con argument in the voter's pamphlet. But to get out the vote, back to getting out the vote, I attended a very interesting rural caucus with the state Democratic Party this past weekend, and found that both national parties, are expressing a great deal of interest in rural counties. Because we do recognize that there's a divide between the intense urban centers, which tend to have a lot more population than all of us rural folks combined sometimes. It's that way in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But we have different needs, and our needs for employment are different. Our ability to think about things like public transportation are highly different. What industries we're employed in are very different. How many retired people, for instance, in Curry County, we're more than 55% of us are over 50, so getting out the vote involves reaching out to a population of retired people. And the trick is, how do we get in touch with voters who are under 50? Those are the folks who are working, who are not available to attend meetings at the drop of a hat any day of the week that we choose a time.
Right.
And also, they have concerns that are specific to people who are still working and planning for their own children.
Two different worlds, for sure.
Yeah. So we've specifically designed, in the rural caucus, we've specifically designed and we just networked about ideas on how to involve working voters and youthful voters, which are the folks that are either entering their first job out of high school or they're going to college, or they're in a kind of a waiting period, waiting to go to college when the vote happens, and how to reach them. So setting up a voter registration table at the community college is one way.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about things on social media about voting. Yeah. That's a real way to get the idea that to be part of the winning team, you have to vote. And actually that everybody who votes is part of the winning team, because then we've all had a voice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so we look at it as community building across rural populations. How do we reach folks that are under 50? Go where they are. That's one of the things that you need to do to talk to people, instead of planning everything at the local library, which all of us retirees can reach with no problem.
Right. So would you like actually maybe try to get access at workplaces of large groups of people? I mean, besides
they might, colleges. They might stop out in the, like they used to do, the candidates could stop by, or the registration folks could stop by the mill at shift change hour.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be very common. That's an idea to reach voters.
Freddy's.
Putting up a booth on the street.
Yeah.
Going into the local bars and clubs. Those are all things that are direct outreach. And we're also currently sending postcards to every non-affiliated voter in the county to ask them to please take part in the political process, because we recognize that the reasons people are non-affiliated are many and varied.
That's a big job, 5,000 postcards.
Yes, we're currently into about postcard probably 2,270. 2,270, I think, is our count so far. So we're making headway.
Yeah.
And we do try to call folks and remind them that voting is a very key element in being a part of our active society. And it's a very important thing.
Well, so just to back up, registration-wise, there's like outreach at the school and the college and places like that. And you can also do it online, I think, or it's just a check. I know you can check online if you're registered. And you can also do it at the DMV or the post office, but the post office allows for declaring your affiliation if you want to. Did I leave anything out there?
Mm-hmm. The Secretary of State's website is sos.gov. And
go ahead. Well, and you can do it on your phone.
Wow.
You have a smartphone. Get the smartphone out, Google Secretary of State Oregon, and go to My Vote, and it'll lead you through a number of screens.
Mm-hmm.
That, so long as you have a state-issued identification card or a driver's license, one of those two numeric identifiers, then you can just go ahead and register right there on your phone.
Are there any exceptions? I know a lot of kids don't have either one of those at this point. They're just
you can register. 18. You can register at the post office with less identification than that. You don't have to have changed your Oregon driver's license yet, because some voters move right at close to the last day to register.
Uh-huh.
And so they can go ahead and register at the post office and be immediately registered without having an Oregon driver's license. I'm not sure what identification they require at the post office.
Well, I know when you go to get a post office box, you usually have to bring in like a utility bill or something like that. They probably
a piece
do
of mail addressed to you at your house would probably be sufficient.
Yeah. So, and then step two is the voter pamphlet to get familiar.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also, one of the things that we found that kind of puts people off, since we all have written ballots and we are very careful in Oregon to have a hand-counted ballots. We can't recount them three times by hand.
No kidding.
And then
that's great.
Yes, and then if there is a contention around the vote, they count them again three times by hand. I talked to somebody that was her job before. She described it as fairly long-term, the experience. It took them about 2 weeks to recount after there was a declaration of some sort of objection to the result. But that's partly because Oregonians don't want our votes hijacked by anybody. However,
however,
there's a point of hijack that could happen that voters should be aware of, and that is we are all registered online. So there is an online database with all of our names in it. And as soon as you receive your ballot, actually about a week before ballots go out, which is about 6 weeks before November 6th, is a good date to check your voter registration. Because if at that point you have an affiliated, you can. If it was a, mm-hmm. if this was a primary ballot, which it's not, that would be important to do. But you can make sure that you are, in fact, registered, because things can happen with electronic media, as we now know. We're very aware of that all over the country now.
Do they have, like, a paper backup if that did go down, or do you know?
I don't know what they do to back you up. You get a voter registration card, and it's possible that if for some reason you were excluded from the voter list, the copy of that card would immediately reinstate you. But you can generally do that yourself because you'll have your driver's license.
I forget what they call that, a provisional ballot or something, where they're not really sure you're allowed, but they let you do your vote, and then they check it out and make sure it was valid later.
Yeah, they generally, in this county, we get between 6 and 12 provisional ballots total.
That's
in the whole count.
Easy.
So people are very careful with how they're registered, and then the county clerk does follow up in person to each of those folks to make sure that they are living in the county and that they are living at the address that they claim and have the right to vote, which means they have to be a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Those things happen.
And so you can register anytime up to when, before
about
a particular...
6 weeks before. There is an exact
date. That's the cutoff.
Yeah, there is an exact date, and I'm sorry I didn't bring that information. But information
6 weeks before is going to end up being the end of September sometime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Approximately, sometime it's the end of September, yes. Right.
But I would definitely go online and check that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that we are doing as Democrats is that our office is open from noon to 7, 5 days a week, and then Saturdays from 1 to 4. And on Saturdays, Se Habla Español, we have a Spanish translator there. So if anybody has any... confusion about their registration, they're welcome to stop in the office. I don't care what party you're in. Stop in the office. We'll help you look it up and see what status you have. And then you're set to go forth and straighten out any difficulties that you may have. But you have the work, you know, you have the help of a human being there to look it over with you rather than sitting there at home trying to, you know, to punch this button and go to that screen. So we are very honored to be able to help people make sure that their ability to vote in this election is not compromised.
That's great.
We believe thoroughly, LaRose and I don't usually speak for her, but I know that we're very thoroughly in agreement about this, that the act of voting itself is the most important citizen act that we can do, because it's our only opportunity to join others that think that the goals and the ways to reach those goals are similar to ours, is to vote so that we can find out who actually is in the majority. And that's what we agree to, is that if we lose this time, it's not like a football game. There's not a win or lose to it. We all win. If 100% of voters vote in this county, that would be like a dream come true.
Wouldn't it?
Because then everybody would know that most of our neighbors believe these things and these people are good decisions to make on a ballot. But there's something among young voters and first-time voters in Oregon that's kind of confusing. The ballot itself tends to be pretty complicated. And
reading it can be complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The pros are a little dense sometimes.
Well, one of the things is going to be on this ballot that is, like our last election, 101, that was be health care for all in Oregon, was somewhat complicated. People immediately said, it's a tax, you don't want it. But in fact, it was not a tax. It was a payment due from the providers of health care and insurance to pay into a fund so that we're sure that everybody can get the health care that they need. But to read the bill was multiple pages, kind of, you know, if this, then that. So at the time, as a retired attorney, I sat down and did a small, a synopsis of the bill and how it works so that people had some ideas to what all went together. Now, this time around, we don't have anything that's equal to the complexity of 101. Which, by the way, we had a way higher turnout than the metropolitan areas here in Curry County to vote on that bill. So we had a large buy-in of people wanting to have their opinion known in that election, and they voted for health care for all right here. We're one of the only rural coastal county. In fact, we're one of the only rural counties that did in fact endorse the measures that says everybody needs to be able to be cared for medically, and we are going to find a way to pay for it, regardless of the actions of Washington, which, as we know, can be pretty mercurially changeful from hour to hour. And our governor, Kate Brown, wanted to be sure that we all did continue to have health care in 2018, regardless of what happened with the politics in Washington. But that's then. The other thing I was going to mention, though, is that this election, there is one special piece of legislation that will allow private funding in plans, in cooperatives to help build affordable housing. In the past, those have had to be nonprofit contributors. And now we're going to have the ability to invest in affordable housing is going to be more dispersed throughout the investment community. And at first, you know, I wanted to question that and see, you know, what this is all about. But I heard from many people at the quarterly Democratic meeting. They were just back from Eugene on, and they said they really have demonstrated that this is the only way to deal with the crisis that we have right now of getting people housed. And it, you know, when people are getting housed, it's also great for the economy, great for jobs,
great
for realtors, great for families. Everybody that, you know, everybody gets involved in the providing housing for everybody and in the having everybody having housing. So this is a good bill, but it's a little bit complicated for people to understand. And that's another thing we're doing at the Curry County Democrats, both on our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page, and at the office itself, and or by phone or email or however you want to communicate with us. If you've got a question about a piece of legislation, when you get your voter pamphlet, Calla is a retired paralegal. I'm a retired attorney. We have teachers. We have people who've worked in all kinds of industries and trades. You know, we can break it down to where it makes more sense to you in regard to what's being proposed in on the ballot this time.
So how does a person access that if they're going, I would like to learn more about how that fits together?
You can call us at the Democrats' office.
Okay.
You can email me, and my email is Curry County Democrat. That's one Democrat, _chair@AOL.com.
Let's try and repeat that at the end.
Okay. Be glad to.
And for folks that the ballot itself is, for folks who've never done it, it looks something like a test.
Yeah.
So there are some general questions that people ask. People sometimes don't vote because they're afraid they'll do it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a wrong way to vote. The only wrong way to vote is to not mark anything at all. That, in fact, is a vote, but it's a vote for nobody. You have all kinds of options. You can choose a person. If the ballot says choose a person, you can choose a person listed on the ballot, or you can write a name in of a person that you believe would do a good job in that position. So you always have that opportunity to do that. On the measures, there will have been in the voter pamphlet, there will be information about what the fiscal impact of the measure is expected to be.
Uh-huh.
The State Department of the Treasury always writes a fiscal impact statement. So we are more aware of this. Is this going to cost us money? And if so, where are the funds going to come from? Is it already allocated in the budget? Or is this a new budget item? Things like that. So those are very important. But the thing about the ballot itself is it's not a test. You don't have a time limit to fill it out. But it's been our experience that most voters who actually get their ballots in, get them within the first 3 days of the ballots reaching their house. Or the last day when they say, oh my gosh,
I forgot,
I've got to get it in. So on the last day at each of the ballot boxes, and ours in Curry is right in front of the city hall. So mm-hmm. It's a big white box. It's not easy to mistake it for the water bill box. It looks really different.
Yeah.
So you won't end up putting it in the wrong box. And you can drop it any time of the day or night without a postage stamp on it. You can call someone. There'll be various folks supplying help to pick up ballots and take them to the to the box for you, or you can mail them, and that requires a stamp. So if you, one thing about the ballot that we try to help people remember is that if you don't sign the outside of the envelope, then they're going to call you a provisional voter. And they'll have to confirm whether or not you actually filled out what's inside the envelope. But if you fill out your ballot, like I said, you can skip some blocks. If you don't know anything about any of the judges running, if there are judges on the ballot and you don't know anything about them, you can skip them. If you prefer not to vote for someone and you don't know, there's no reason that you have to vote for someone simply because they are the only person on the ballot. Also, if you're affiliated with a party, you don't have to vote for everybody who's running for that party, running in that party with that affiliation. Yeah. And generally, I believe that the people will know what parties local officials are running from, if they have a party that they're a position or a platform that they're running from, but that information won't be on the ballot. So another good encouragement for getting out to vote is talking in the paper, writing letters to the editor about voting and how important it is, about talking, you can talk on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, although Facebook tends to be us old fogies now, and Instagram is really the millennials' platform of choice to talk. And Twitter is also a popular feed, although the millennials usually use Instagram and Snapchat, which doesn't have any voice, doesn't have any written word.
What about, we have the voter pamphlet and these other things you've talked about. What about if you just want to get together with other people that hopefully are somewhat like-minded with you and have a bit of a forum or a discussion? I mean, you can listen to things on this radio station. We're producing a lot of material and all these different items that you've mentioned. But is there any, like, events coming up, like League of Women Voters is going to do a thing? Or
yeah, there are. As a matter of fact, the various people running for various offices, the parties that are in support of their office seeking will have events for them a couple of weekends in this county. In this county, we're not considered, we're very important to ourselves. But in the state races, we are a small portion of the House districts and the state districts. The portions of the counties around us that comprise those districts have many more voters in them than we do. That's one reason that every vote in Curry County counts, because if we have, we have the possibility of having nearly 17,000 voters voting in Curry County. I know that 5 times 3 is 15, but that was a round figure.
Right.
So about 17,000 people are registered, 16-something. And if everybody voiced that, then the vote in Curry County would be a big, important vote for folks to get who are running for state office. And so that makes it important that we in Curry County up our percentage of voting, even though we should be very proud that so many of us take part in it. Still, it would be wonderful to see 98% voter turnout from everybody, all parties, all non-affiliated voters, everybody. That's what our goal is about a 98% turnout.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, because then you could lose the race, but you haven't lost the community, because the community is then involved in its, in governing itself.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to say, LaRose?
We have some events coming up, which in a second I hope Calla will be able to tell you a little bit about. They're not exactly nailed down as to the time right now, but we have some local office seekers who are going to be either in town speaking or coming to town to speak and do some events. That's going to be some fun coming up pretty soon.
The League of Women Voters does a nonpartisan event or a series. I think they usually do one, but they might in each of the cities, the big, larger cities in the county. So there'll be one in Port Orford, there'll be one in Gold Beach, and there'll be one in Brookings Harbor, where they invite all candidates to introduce themselves. Since we have a lot of candidates running this year, they might actually have more than one event, but they would be able to tell you what those dates and times are. The Democrats will sponsor and take part in events that invite the Democratic candidates to meet the public and for the public to meet them, because we don't have somebody riding around with a bullhorn in a car just doesn't make sense in as widely separated living arrangements as we have here. So we're far apart from each other lots of times geographically. So we'll have some events. One of the candidates that's running on the Democratic platform is Shannon Souza, who's running for state District 1 senator. And she plays in a rock band. She's actually quite good at it. Chaise Lounge. And Chaise Lounge will be performing at a couple of local venues the weekend of September 15th. And they'll be performing in Port Orford on the 14th, and we hope Gold Beach on the 16th. So it's a whole weekend. And then the weekend of the 20th through the weekend of the 24th, August the 24th, Shannon will be in town walking the precincts. That means she'll go door to door and meet voters in their homes and say hello. And she'll also set up a couple of public access events, you might say. We'll invite other Democrats who are running that the Democratic Party has endorsed as candidates to appear with Chaise Lounge, not sing.
But that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. But to say who they are and have a minute to speak to their candidacy. So, and then just walk among people. The thing about meeting people in rural counties is the way we meet each other is very much the way candidates gain votes. We say, hello, my name is.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm doing, and this is where I'm from, and this is what I believe. And so that's the same way that community building works. That works for candidates to get out and meet people that way, too.
It's amazing in this day and age. I mean, people have been doing it that way forever, and we're still doing it that way.
Well, it works.
Yeah. Well, it's that face-to-face contact. I know when I had a conversation with Merkel, it was really inspiring, and I felt like I just got that he was a great guy, you know?
Yeah.
But if you want to get connected up with these different events as they unfold, just calling the Dems office, there should be a list of what's available out there and things of that nature.
And there'll be announcements in the paper. You know, we'll do whatever ability there is to publicize the events will be utilized. And like other events in our county, there won't be 7,000 people there. So there'll be, you know, whoever comes to Oxenfree or Chetco Brewery or the Irish Pub or, you know, any other of the places in town where people gather. The Thai restaurant is a good place to meet people, Kun Thai. And the candidates will take opportunities to be there at those events. Also, there is a Progressives Brunch the second Saturday of the month at Blue Water Cafe here, where people who are progressives meet each other on a social basis. And the candidates will stop in and say hello and schmooze. Mm-hmm. That's what we say is schmooze.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's 11 a.m., I believe, on the second Saturday of every month at the Blue Water.
Yes.
Also, the phone number for the Dems is 541-412-3367. And let's try and say that again at the end for anybody who wants to write it down then. So,
and one of the things that I'm doing personally to try to help get out the vote is there's a lot of conversation out there on social media about having discourse that's civil.
Mm-hmm.
Because we sometimes have a widely divergent idea of what would work to solve this or that or the other challenge in our society. And sometimes we can get quite heated about how we support those ideas.
Yeah.
So civil discourse is just the idea that we can have very different ideas from each other, and we can still be kind and polite and not name call. And we can be very adamant about what we believe in, but not strident. So on a personal basis, I encourage everybody to do this, enter into political discussions. Don't do one-upmanship online. Just enter into political discussions. Say what you think and do good research ahead of time. So you have, if someone says something, you think, that's not a fact, that's a belief. And I don't agree with that belief, but they state it as a fact. Go back and research it and see if it is a fact. To get out the vote, I should be sure that what I'm saying is as truthful as is humanly possible. And that way, if someone asks me a question, I can give them an honest answer. It's actually an honest answer because I did the research. So getting out the vote is partly about helping people understand that the process is not rigged. It actually is doable. We can, in fact, govern ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what we intend to do.
It's so important with all this stuff about Russian invading our election process that we can trust that the vote is accurate and true.
Well, and the ability to really understand what's going on in the voting process, I'd like to speak to a couple of different issues. One is that making a decision about your vote, it's a very good thing if you can put more than an hour's time into it. Mm-hmm. For instance, one of our candidates that's running, Shannon Souza, is someone who has a mixed background. At one time, she worked for a warehouser, a large paper mill. And one of the things that she did was she is a mechanical engineer. So she helped with environmental remediation of sites that had been polluted by her employer. Since then, she has run her own solar installation business for about 13 years. And she also has helped to start two schools. In one area, you would think that she is someone who is, quote, a liberal because she's an environmentalist. On the other hand, she believes that one of the most important challenges facing our community today is making sure that everybody has affordable, adequate training to be engaged in a job in our communities. And she's very much for skilled trades training, helping people and free the ability to go into trades. One of the things that she points out is we literally have millions and millions of dollars of jobs in Oregon that are what we call both shovel-ready and funded that can't be started because there's not enough skilled workers in our economy.
And in the private sector, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
To do those jobs. Mm-hmm. And we see so many young people, you know, moving out of our communities because they need to seek employment someplace else. And I, as the parent of a young person who's just graduating from college and whom I am really incredibly blessed to be able to have starting employment with the school district in this county, that my joy over that shouldn't be the only person that experiences this. Many, many more parents and grandparents should have the ability to see the generations of their family unfold right here in Curry County. But we're going to be able to do that more and more when we have better, more affordable training for everybody. College is not the only track for every young person.
Yeah.
And the trades training has been taken out of the high school. So this candidate, Shannon Souza, is both an environmentalist and someone who believes that people shouldn't be compensated to sit at home, that instead they should be encouraged to get education and take their place in the workforce next to the rest of us. So, and she also happens to be a rock star, but so this is the kind of person that, you know, you can encounter as a possible candidate on our ballots. And the more you know about that person, what they stand for, what their experience has been, she helped to start two charter schools. Charter schools are often not looked upon well by public school teachers because charter schools tend to bleed funding away from public schools. And they tend to be able to get the first pick of the students. Her charter school, however, has been endorsed by the teachers union. So, you know, it's not an undoable job to sit down and make a thoughtful vote, but it is something that is great if you go out and look into it. Come out to one of these public programs and ask questions, especially young people. Ask questions.
Directly to the candidates is the best thing to do. Yeah.
And I think that's part of what's fascinating about politics is that, you know, if you just, this person's a Democrat, that doesn't mean you know everything about what they think.
No.
Like, Shannon's a good example of that. I mean, there's some parts of what she's promoting that are conservative, more conservative, and some that are more progressive. And it's a mix of things because she's an individual, just like all the other candidates are. And, you know, you might find someone who really matches up with what you want.
Yeah, and the reality of our governance here in Oregon, we should be very proud of our Oregon government, because no matter who's in ascendancy or in the majority in our state legislature, if you look at the history of the legislature and read a little bit of how the voting has gone and who sponsored what kind of legislation and where it's gone afterwards, you'll find that our legislature actually functions like a legislature is intended to do, whether or not Republicans or Democrats are in the majority, or whether or not at several times in our state history they've been neck and neck, so to speak. And so if they're neck and neck and the governor is one party and the Secretary of State's another party, it's called a trifecta, because it's a equivalence trifecta, because everybody's balanced. And in order for things, and even now the Democrats have a majority and have held for several years, but they are not, in fact, act in a bipartisan manner.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the person who represents the House in our district is Republican, and he works with his colleagues in the House to achieve maximum result. He has to be educated on what the Democrats are trying to do. The Democrats need to be educated on what he's trying to do. It's not a situation
finding the common ground.
Right. It's finding the common ground and then identifying a common goal, and then deciding what common ground you can use to reach that common goal. And that's how the Oregon legislature functions that way, and it's pretty amazing, because we hear on the national level how Congress is basically frozen in one party and actually able to shut out the other party a lot because they hold majorities in both houses of Congress. And that's not actually how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to talk to your colleagues.
Right. You're supposed to reach across the aisle and,
right.
and work
and
together.
And also the person that represents the needs of the coastal communities in the Southwest Coast, when that person reaches, whoever that person is, when they reach the state house, they don't just represent us. They need to think about how what we need in our local communities that can be done at the state level, how that impacts everybody in Oregon. Because we are all, in fact, neighbors in Oregon. We are not... you know, we can travel from one end of the state quite readily in a day, and we have a lot of different beautiful geography here, but we tend to be fiercely protective of our ecology. We have lots of things in common. And so finding those commonalities, if you vote, you're saying this person's ideas are slightly more like mine, or I think this person will work harder for my community once they reach the state house, or this person is better at reaching, at listening to people around them and arriving at a decision that is actually going to be a conglomerate of everybody's ideas. And you might be voting for that person, not on their looks, not on how they dress, not on what their religion is, or where they came from originally. You actually are voting for an actual living person. And so in this county, we are very close to those people. In other words, when one of our city councilmen walks down the street, we're quite liable to stop them and say something to them about whatever they're involved in politically at that
moment.
Right,
right.
And that's true of every person we elect in Oregon. We have that kind of access to our government, and we should... The first step in gaining that access is pre-election cycle, getting to know who they are, during election cycle, voting, and then after the election cycle, saying to the person, I voted for you, and you're either behaving in the way that I approve, or you should change this about the way you're behaving.
So if a person really wanted to get into this and say, in the case of an incumbent person, they wanted to do some research on how they'd voted in the past, is there a place to look for that kind of information?
We have a really good resource in our,
Ballotopedia.
Ballotopedia is one of the very interesting areas.
That sound that online, I suppose.
Ballotopedia is, yeah.
Ballotopedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can also look at, there is a section on the Oregon State Legislature site that you can look at every single vote of every person in the legislature ever.
Mm-hmm.
On what the bills were that they sponsored. And if you like what a legislator is doing, you can follow that legislator and see what they're doing. If you have an interest in a say you're interested in housing because you need some, you can follow online all of the bills having to do with housing. See who sponsors them, who argued about them, who put up, who added amendments that were good or bad, and who finally voted or didn't vote for the bill.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So
how about let's downshift a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's say you know about voting and you're educating yourself, but you feel like you want to participate in a deeper way. I mean, you've got a lot of postcards to send out. And I'm sure the other party does similar programs that you do. What can a person do who wants to get more involved and really participate in helping other people get to the voting booth?
Well, our office is open, as I said, from 12 to 7, Monday through Friday, and 1 to 4 on Saturday. And we need people to help get cards out, to call people to see if they need assistance with voting, to help people go get their ballots to the ballot box, to go to locations and help people register. And also, we need to look at this, as well. If you do these kind of things right now, mm-hmm. it's also much more likely that you might continue to be invested in what are the good outcomes for our community. If you know who you're voting for and what you think they stand for, then you might be continuing to look at that, and you might be continuing to have input into what happens post-election, because election is just one day and it's kind of one opinion poll. And then after that, we've got to stick with it. One of the things about the Democrats here in Curry County, and I've been chair of the Democrats for just about a year now, is that I really wanted to deepen the voting pool.
Mm-hmm.
And not just those that are giving their opinion with the vote, but also people who are getting together and talking about how they want our community to be shaped, run, funded, how the ecology should be managed. There are so many different levels that people can have input into at this point in our community. Now, I came from a state less populous, more populous than this one. I was raised in Kentucky. And then until I was 46, I lived there. Then I went to San Francisco for 20 years, and then we moved here. Your ability to really be known and heard in terms of what your opinions are and what you're willing to put your effort into here is much greater than that in
you're gonna be more impactful.
More populated areas. Absolutely. People mm-hmm. will know you.
Yeah.
They'll know you online. They'll know you when you show up, whether it's at the shelter to help get dogs rescued, or at the beach to help pick up the beach, or at a forum to discuss the Chetco Bar fire, or at an affordable housing program. There is a real place for you. There's a place for your particular individual energies to be part of better results in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And our local governance is largely by volunteer. At the supervisory level, or the administrative, not the administrative portion, but the supervisory level, our city council are all volunteers. We don't pay them salaries. So even if you disagree with how a councilor votes, if the councilor has taken time to research the issue, given it a fair thought, and then thoughtfully votes, they're doing that all on their own nickel. They don't get getting paid a penny for that. And it's the same of many, there are many different committees you can sit on to advise the city council on events of importance and things of importance in our county. You can take part in parade formation. You can take part in weeding Azalea Park. You can take part in deciding which murals and which muralists get paid for which murals going up around the city. Those are some of the arts interests. You can help run the treasury of the city by volunteering for the finance committee. You can finance and budget, I think it's called. And the city is very good about broadcasting when there are vacancies on those committees. and they thoughtfully read what you tell them about yourself, and then they try to pick, they do a pretty fair job of picking a wide variety of people to sit on these advisory committees. So if there's some part of the city that interests you, you could learn about that and volunteer. The Port Commission is all volunteers. The county commissioners are paid. But again, they have lots of folks that go to the meetings, that listen in and give input. If you care about something that's coming up before the city council or the county commission, you can send them your information, or there are processes by which you can stand and speak to them at their meetings, and they'll consider what you have to say. So, and you'll get to be known that way also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways, if you like to take part in politics, you can. But the very first, most important step is to vote. And if you don't have time because you're a working parent, or because you hold two jobs, or because you commute between here and Crescent City for your second job, that happens with a lot of young people, then your vote is very, very important way to keep your voice in.
Right, right. Specifically, though, if you wanted to help out on the postcards, what would that look like, or the phone calls? Would you sign up for a shift at the headquarters there, or?
No, just drop in, and we'll tell you how to do it. It's very, you know, it's...
So you just stay as long as you're comfortable, and then
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, you can drop in. 1 week I did 5 or 6 hours every day and got a bunch of things done, and then volunteers come, and they do a piece and go home. One of the interesting things that happens in a active political office is that people on the street drop by and say hello. Sometimes they drop by and say hello in a positive way, and sometimes they drop by and say hello in a way that they mean to argue. But it's always interesting, and you meet your neighbors that way.
Right, right. And I guess you could probably use some help with just manning the office, too.
Well, we have volunteer staffers for all of those hours, and we do staff with Democrats or non-affiliated voters. Some independents also stop and help us. There have been a couple of working party folks that stopped in to help. But generally, mostly Democrats are staffing. And then, you know, if you want to give more of your time, you can become an elected official called in either of the major parties, called a precinct committee person, which is the person that represents a precinct. We actually are elected, and a bunch of us got elected on the last ballot last spring, and we're also elected at county meetings, party meetings. So each party has people representing people in the precinct to help the folks in the precinct get to know about things that are part of the party business, get to know about candidates, get to know about issues, and actually reach out and talk to them.
So let's see, when you're talking about, we're number one, I'm spacing out here on what it's called, what Shannon's running for.
Shannon Souza is running for state Senate District 1.
Senate District 1. And then there's the representative districts, which
are
different.
And we're also in House District 1.
And then the PCPs, those are individual precincts.
Yeah, and there are 27 precincts in the county.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. 27 okay. Precincts. And depending on how many, this is a county regulation and a state rule, depending on how many voters are registered in a precinct, and the voters are all counted in a body, every 500 voters or piece thereof, the two precinct persons are assigned available for that precinct. If it goes above 750, then there's another two. If it goes to 1,025, then there's another one. The county has that formula, but basically the populated portions of Brookings have more than one person assigned, more than two people assigned as precinct committee persons.
So really, that's a pretty intimate kind of relationship. If you're mm-hmm. talking about one person to represent, say, 500 people, that's
right.
That's not that many people. You could really have a lot of contact and input.
Yeah, and those committee precinct persons are first on the line for calling folks in their precinct, and for writing postcards to people in their precinct, and for sending letters out or dropping by information and
so
forth.
Or newsletters, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, a precinct committee person is kind of like what they used to call in Chicago, the old ward boss.
Right.
You know? But ours is not quite that.
And they're not really bosses.
No, they're really the first level of public servant here.
Mm-hmm.
They're the first level of people who are there to be a conduit, to be a channel from the voters in their precinct into in our case, the Democratic Party, the Republicans have the same type of structure for their party. And the RPCPs do everything from, like we just finished up a booth at the state fair. We had a booth at the Party in the Park over in Gold Beach. Mm-hmm. We do things to get out and meet the public. And, you know, we form substantive committees, whether it's a committee on housing or the environment or response to other political issues.
Well, that's great. And you were saying earlier before we got on the air about the long-range plan. It's not just this election, but getting involved in a more ongoing way.
Yeah.
And that's part of your vision. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit in the time we've got left?
In the Democrats' office, there's something which is still in its formative stages, mm-hmm. but it is a loom that I made out of lumber. It's got four sides. It has nails on either end, and there's what we call a warp, which is threads going up and down through all those nails. And at some point, I want everyone who comes into that office, who's engaged the Democratic Party, to be a thread in that weaving, because as Democrat, my feeling is that we are in fact a coat of many colors. We are a quilt of many patches. We are a very diverse and vivid array of citizens in our community, and I want as many people as possible to be part of that tapestry.
Mm-hmm. So it's the long view of getting folks in this community to participate, to get woven into the community in such a way that we get to know each other, understand each other, be able to work cooperatively together and support each other.
Well, think about it. If every community behaves in a way that is like that, and that every voice is heard in every small community, guess what? We actually do govern the country.
Exactly. What was that phrase about? Act locally.
Right.
Yeah.
Think globally, act locally.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to repeat a couple of contact places. We know where the Dems headquarters is, right next to the theater there, right downtown, mm-hmm. in the center of town.
It's at 619 Chetco.
619. And the phone number there is 541-412-3367. And you were giving us an email address also for inquiries about mm-hmm. things coming up.
Yes. One of our email numbers is currycountydemocrat_chair@aol.com.
Great.
And you can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. And you can find us on the web.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in and spending your time to educate us a little bit about all these details. And
try again.
Again, I just want to thank you both, LaRose and Calla Felicity, from the Curry County Democrats. And the message is, come vote. Whatever you do, do vote. Make your voice heard. And thank you so much for coming down. And thank you all for listening. This has been Lee Tooley for Reality Check on KCIW. Here at KCIW, we don't endorse candidates or take any particular political positions, so we invite all candidates and parties to come on and share their views.